I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Episode number 2.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
You're listening to That's What I Said, a podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew Dickens, and with me is everyone's favorite badass redhead, besides Molly Weasley, Joanna Zaleski.
Oh my god, I just got compared to Molly Weasley. I'll take it. I will take that.
I mean, she's a badass.
She's a total badass. I wouldn't
be offended to be second place to Molly Weasley.
No, I'll take it. Oh, 100%. I hope to be that. You know the only thing I didn't like about Molly Weasley? Was she was really hard on Fred and George, and I understand that she was just worried about them and they seemed to have no direction. But she was, I just feel she was too hard on them.
I think it was understandably.
I mean, they were funny. I guess there's no, like, room for, there wasn't exactly, like, famous, they don't talk about famous wizard comedians. They're like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be, like, you know, they'll get their own talk show. Like.
When you've got all your older siblings doing amazing things and, I don't know, I guess the bar is set pretty high for them.
That's true. Poor Ron. Like, I felt like Ron got the shortest end of the stick. Okay, I'll stop talking about Harry Potter. This could go on forever. I really could.
I don't mean to open any newly healed wounds, but I understand that you got an update from your audition that you went on.
I sure did. And I was fine with it. Like, I got the email, and I feel like I'm going to read the email because it was pretty hurtful. What's her name? I don't want to say her name on the air because she's nothing. It was just basically like, we had over 100 people audition. Here it is. Thank you for auditioning for Beauty and the Beast. We had more than 100 people come to audition, which made casting a very difficult process. I'm sorry to let you know I'll not be able to use it this time. Thanks for auditioning. So anyway, I get this email.
We had so many people auditioning, so don't feel too bad.
You were just like one of the suckiest son of 100. It was a small stage though. Like when we were dancing on it, I was like, geez, like are they going to break the groups into smaller bits? Because this is a lot to dance on stage. She goes, oh no, this is going to be a big cast. So there's going to be a lot of people dancing on stage. So, I guess they could have fit me in. Whatever.
Dang, that sounds like it's going to be crowded on stage.
Yeah, it did seem crowded. But anyway, so I get the email before my math class. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And my math teacher, I'm the only one that participates, really. And she knows me. We talk. And she just kept picking. We're talking about common factors. And someone was like, well, how come in least common factors, you bring down all of the factors, but in greatest common factor, you only bring down the ones that are in common? And she goes, okay, put it like this. Say Joanna and you can both play soccer, but you're better than Joanna, so uncut Joanna. And I was like, ugh.
You're like, I don't need this right now.
I really don't. And then she's like, and then that person still didn't get that concept. And she was like, can you say it again a different way? I was like, okay, so say you and Joanna, oh my god, are up for like a ballet thing and you're just both as good, but you did something a little bit better. And I'm like, oh my god, I get it. So she's like, so you'd cut Joanna.
Say you and Joanna audition for the same musical.
Let's say, I don't know, off the top of my head, Beauty and the Beast. Just off the top of my head. So I got a little upset and like, just because it was just kind of fresh. So I started to tear up a little bit, then I pulled it back. And this is why, on our first math quiz in that class, I got anxiety. Like, I've never panicked during a test before like this. And I just kind of went blank and we only had 15 minutes. And I threw answers on the thing and I started to get really upset. And then we had to go the rest of class after I took this quiz. And I cried a little bit. I'm trying to hide it, but I was in the front row. So I was like, well, at least no one can really see me because I'm just like by myself in the front. And
just everyone behind you can see your giant shoulder heaves as you're sobbing under your Scantron.
So I go up to her afterwards to show her that by the way, I got a 90 on that quiz. I don't know how. I didn't fail, but I was convinced I had. And I went to show her a notebook full of like practice problems that I had done to show her I knew how to do it. And in the middle of me talking, she goes, "Oh, you're the one that you cried. Yeah, I was. You cried a lot during class. Are you okay?" But she's from a different culture, so like she's just being very blunt about it. And I'm like, "Shh." And she's like, "Yes, I saw you. I felt so bad. Why is she crying?" And I'm
I
like,
felt so
"Okay."
bad I didn't say anything.
Well, she didn't want to say. I guess at least she didn't say it in the middle of class. Like, "Why are you crying?" And then later on in the semester, she's been very kind to me. She's been she like she let me take tests by myself, and so I don't get anxiety.
So you can cry alone.
I cry by myself. Yeah. So I went to go see her because there was a mess up with my math homework. Because the math homework I know I'm gonna get 100 on because I can take it home and practice it. And it said that I got an F on my math homework, and I was like, "Wah-ah!" And I pulled up my like my documents to prove that I'd done it. And I go to her office, and I don't even get to say hello. She goes, "Don't cry, Joanna. Don't cry." I'm like, "I cried one time."
And now you're the crying girl.
Now I'm the crying girl. She's like, "I'm gonna fix it," but honestly, it was my own fault because basically I was doing the homework online. And I thought I was hitting save and submit, but I was just hitting save. So I was not turning in my homework. So another teacher was like, "Well, you didn't follow directions. There's an F." But I think she felt so bad that I was going to cry again. She was like, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll just give you 100. So I was telling you, it's a strategy.
I can't have you okay, crying. Right?
You'll give me a bad grade. I can't have that on my conscience. All right. So yeah, and long story short, no, I did not make it.
So before we talk about anything else, I need to talk to you about something that happened, after we got done recording last week. After we got done, Diego and I went to the theater and saw Love, Simon.
Oh, is it good?
I'm going to assume that you haven't seen it yet because we haven't talked about it.
No, we were going to, and then, Ryan hadn't seen The Greatest Showman and I wanted to see it with him.
So this will be my, no spoilers, review of the movie. The movie currently has a 93%. As of the time of this recording, it has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And those are all well-deserved. All those tomatoes, it deserves all the tomatoes. It was the best movie I have ever seen. It was so good.
Wow. That sounds good. Well, see, like, I really wanted to see it. No, I'm getting a call. Sorry. I'm turning it off. Anyway. I really, really wanted to see it, and then they plugged it really badly on Riverdale.
Oh, really? Because I've been seeing they promotions did. For it everywhere, online, on TV.
So, okay, tell me about the story without spoiling it. Is that
all right, without spoiling it, so the movie's about this boy named Simon. He's in high school. I think he's, like, 17, and he's gay, but he's having trouble coming out. Even though his family's like super liberal and they obviously wouldn't be a big deal. And, his friends are like super cool and he assumes they probably wouldn't care, but it's just like, it's that idea of like, even if it's okay, once you come out, it's like, it changes stuff. Okay. And, I could really relate to it, because that was kind of the same situation I was in. Like, my parents are not conservative. They're not religious. Like, I know how they feel about things. So like, I remember being a kid and thinking like, you know, I'm going to have to come out someday and like, how am I going to do it? And how is everyone going to take it? So the movie is all, kind of all about that, him struggling with like coming out. And, he has this anonymous pen pal at school that he's emailing back and forth with, who's also gay and having trouble coming out, but they don't know who each other is. They're like going by aliases, and it just turns into a really romantic story where they've like fallen in love with each other, but they don't know who each other, who the other person is, but they're both too scared to like identify themselves. It was really good. It was a really good movie. It was one of those movies that I think like every gay kid needs to go see. Well, no, I mean, I think every kid needs to go see it because it really like, it kind of puts you in the mindset of what gay kids are like dealing with.
Well, I think also, too, there's so much about yourself that we're afraid to say, not just about sexuality, but in high school in general, everything that's different about you is bad, essentially. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And it just felt like you're walking on eggshells. Did it feel realistic based on when you went to high school versus the time period? I mean, you didn't go to high school that long ago, but...
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been different if it was set in when we went to high school?
It felt to me, it felt realistic. I mean, I'm basing this off of like where I live and
that's the, very true. Yeah,
just like the people that I'm around. I've talked to some of my friends who have already seen it, and their opinion was that it was a good movie, but it didn't seem realistic. And I don't know. So I guess that it's every person has their own opinion on whether it they can relate to it or not. It was, I will say that it was very surprising to Diego and I, after we left the theater, we talked about how the theater was full of a lot of, like younger straight couples, obviously like on movie date night. It was interesting to, for us to see how excited everybody in the theater was getting as the love story was like playing out, like people were cheering and afterwards we were talking about how, like, if this movie had come out, you know, not even that long, like 5 or 10 years ago, like, I don't know if it would have gotten the same reception as it had gotten. But, I mean, it was a really good movie. It seemed like a typical high school romance movie, but the characters just happened to be gay and dealing with that as well. So, I mean, there's a lot more I could say about it, but it would obviously ruin it.
Well, it has Jennifer Garner in it.
So, I mean, it's already got that going for them.
I mean, is she good? I'm so on her. Sometimes I love her, sometimes I'm...
She played a medium-sized role in the movie. I mean, she obviously wasn't one of, like, the major characters, but...
Oh, Josh Duhamel's in it?
I don't know who that is.
Well, I feel bad saying him. He played Jack. Does that ring a bell?
Does it say who he plays in the movie?
Jack.
In the movie?
Yeah, he plays Jack in the movie.
Oh, I don't remember anyone's names. I don't know why I asked.
He's really handsome. He's married to Fergie.
I remember the guy named Simon.
Okay. Wonder how you remember that one.
Yeah, anyways, I'm really it was very good. Go see it. 5 stars.
I will. You need to go see The Greatest Showman.
I will. So I just good. I can't talk Diego into going to see a musical with me.
It's barely a musical.
Regardless of the amount of Hugh Jackman.
But what about Zefron?
He's okay.
He's okay. He's I wish I was favorite. That level of okay. What? It's Zefron. Well, I hope you know I booked Zefron for next week's show, and now he's not showing up.
Well, he can still be on the show. It'll just be really awkward if he hears this.
Nope, too late. He's here now. Spoiler. Here he is right now.
I think he'll be okay with me saying that he's okay.
Yeah, I think he'll live.
I think he's doing just fine for himself. Speaking of gay things that are really good, I wanted to talk about Trixie's new album that just came out this week.
Oh, I have not heard it. I'm still listening to her first album.
Have heard the first one?
Yes, I love the first one.
Okay, so I remember it was like a year ago when her first album came out. Trixie Mattel is a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race, from anybody who is listening to this and has no idea what we're talking about. Because it wouldn't be an episode of our podcast if we didn't bring up drag queens or drag race in some way. So a year ago, she came out with her first album, and I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm going to listen to this. It's going to be funny. I know how Trixie is, and I was thinking it was going to be like a parody of a country music album.
I know. It's so good.
When I started listening to it, I was shocked at, like, how good it was and how like, emotional all these songs were, and I felt very white driving down the freeway with my windows open, listening to my country music.
It's beautiful, though. Like, moving parts always makes me cry. And then I love, it's not as moving, but Daddy Don't Maybe Put On the Dress Again.
Yeah. All the songs are so good. And they're so sad. And I just remember thinking, like, who hurt you, Trixie?
Oh, I like that she did a country album because it's so different from, like, the pop crap we get a lot. Not crap, but we get from other queens that it's refreshing. And then I read an interview with her that the reason she wanted to do this was she originally wanted to do music. Like, that's what she wanted to do. And then she said, surprise, surprise, a white guy with an acoustic guitar isn't really special anymore. So she started doing drag as a way to market her music. And, I mean, it sure worked. And I'm really glad that the fans are receptive to it because it is so different, but it's really beautiful. It's doing well. And then did you see the names, like, they go together?
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that. The first album is Two Birds and this album is One Stone.
I like it.
I literally did not pick up on that.
I I saw that on Reddit.
I don't know enough about music to give any sort of like insightful review on the new album, except that I think that it is equally as good, and I'm obsessed with some of the new songs on there. So if you can find it, I suggest you go.
Which is your favorite? What song do you want people like check this one out first?
Well, the first song on the album is called Little Sister, I think. That one's really good. Hang on, I'm trying to remember. Hold on, let me.
I can read it to you if you want. I'll read it to you. Little Sister, Break Your Heart, Soldier, Red Side of the Moon, Moving Parts, The Well, and Wind Up Man.
Yeah, they're all good. Soldier and Red Side of the Moon are really good. I know you just said that you really like Moving Parts, and I know she's been like promoting that one a lot, but that one's not really my favorite.
I love that song, but I've only like, when I get into an album, I listen to one song a lot and I really invest in that song, and then I'll start to explore the other song. And that's kind of like, okay, I'm done with this one. Let's move on to the next one. That's what my iTunes is always like. Are we going to move past this song now? Nope. Okay. Then there's one time.
Are you sure you want this one on repeat?
All right. Again, like, Ryan knows that I'm stressed. With school, I'll go into my room, the computer room, and I will play Jeremy Jordan singing It's All Coming Back to Me Now by Celine Dion, which is like a 10-minute song, and I'll just on repeat over and over again. I feel like my thing, we should bring up Drag Race, and I need to talk about Jeremy Jordan until you see Newsies. Speaking of albums, and you would probably like, I'm sure you're into my friend Jessie. I know, like, we talked about her, like, at the beginning of our friendship. She has an album that is amazing, and I will play some of it for you, because it's really, really good. And, you know,
Does she have her music somewhere online that people can...
She has a fancy album. Yeah,
like on
I'll
iTunes?
Send it to you. I think it's on iTunes. I have the actual copy of the album. Let me pull it. I can send it to you, but it's really good. And, it's called Begin, and you can find it. Go to her Facebook and Jessie. I'll send it. I'll give you the stuff to maybe make a link to it. She's fantastic. All right. So end of shameless promotion for my best friend.
It's good. I like her other music. So if she's got new stuff, I want to hear it.
And she's a beautiful human being.
So speaking of gay things, we briefly talked about this a little while ago. I sent you a link, but the Renee Zellweger playing Judy Garland in the new upcoming biopic, and I know you had some opinions about that.
Yes. You defend why you're excited about this.
Okay. Well. I don't have too much information about this because there's literally not that much information about it yet. So I pulled up a story from Variety, and I'm just going to read it verbatim to you real quick. So a striking first image from Judy shows Renee Zellweger playing show business legend Judy Garland in a biopic from, I think that's pronounced Path. I don't know how to. Oh, it's P-A-T-H-E with an apostrophe over the E. BBC Films and Ingenious Media. Principal photography is now underway on the picture, which is being shot in London. The movie is set in late 1960s as Garland arrives in the British capital for a run of sellout concerts. As well as Zellweger in the lead role, the cast includes Jesse Buckley. I guess he's from a movie called War and Peace. I had to look him up. I didn't recognize him. Finn Wittrock from American Horror Story, who I also didn't recognize, but I'm not mad that I had to look through his photos on Google Images. And Michael Gambon, who was Dumbledore 2 in Harry Potter.
Of course, yeah. Who is he playing?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to wait to find out more details.
Can I just Google it?
Well, I don't... Oh, it might be on... Wait, is it? Because there's not much information about it yet.
But, like, she's a Broadway legend, so, like... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Garland's dates at the Talk of the Town nightclub come towards an end as the icon's long career and shortly before her death. The movie will recount her performances with some of her best-known numbers, including Somewhere Over the Rainbow. The film also delves into...
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
You know how it goes.
You can't. No, I didn't do that again.
I'm not going to sing on our podcast.
Oh, so good though.
I'm going to hold out on the fans. The film also delves into Garland's behind-the-scenes battles with management, her relationships with musicians and fans, the unfolding family drama that provided the backdrop to the London performances. And she died in London in June of 1969, and I still have not forgiven the British for killing her since.
Well, no, no, the British didn't do it. That one guy from RuPaul's Drag Race did it. Remember Jinx's, like, makeover person?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. Jinx had to make over a soldier or a veteran.
Oh, yeah, and I remember him.
Yeah, and he was like, I killed Judy Garland. And it got to her, like, what? And he was like, yeah, I knew her, and I recommended a sleeping pill to her, and I think that's what killed her. And it cut to Jinx's confessional, and like, yep, she's a monsoon, all right. And Rue was like, I'm pretty sure she, like, knew about the pills before you. You were the first person.
So I'm very excited about this, not so much because of Renee Zellweger, because I'm not a huge Renee Zellweger fan. But I know you and I have talked about our love for Judy in the past.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I wouldn't be a stereotypical gay if I didn't think she was amazing.
Okay. I feel like this is like Oscar bait. Like, there's no way this movie's not going to get Oscars.
I'm just very excited for it.
I'm very excited too. And I hope that, I wonder who's going to play, did you say who's going to play Liza?
No, but I did want to ask you, what are your opinions on Judy versus Liza?
I mean, I think it's pretty interesting to see that dynamic, and being raised in Hollywood at that time was crazy. And then some of the horrible stuff that Judy Garland had to go through, like they drugged her up to keep her awake. They drugged her and Mickey Rooney up, and she really couldn't have been the best mother with all of that going on. And now, do you mean like the fights between them, or like who's better?
No, I mean like who's better, like in a competition.
Well,
Judy versus Liza.
Mother-daughter competition. I'm more partial to. I can't compare them. I mean, there's obviously they're related, mother and daughter. I've always had an affinity for Liza. She's such a unique star. I don't think there's been many people like her, and more like her mother. There's really not been a lot of people like her. There's just something. Yeah, they always say in Hollywood, like, to make it, you have to be unique.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to have something. And I don't think that there's that much anymore. Like, there's not, like, a Liza or a Judy anymore. Everyone's kind of homogenized and kind of the same, like, blonde actresses doing action movies. And they just don't have, like, a twinkle or a spark about them. And I think both of them are unique talents that I don't think we are asking for, at least anymore. Like they of course they are both beautiful, but I don't think that they would be able to be stars in this Hollywood, because they are both beautiful women, but they're not like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes true for a lot of the celebrities of that era of like the golden age of Hollywood. And I mean, if you think about, like, as much as I love Barbra Streisand, for example, like, or okay, so last week we were talking about Bette Midler. Like, she's a good singer, but she's not anything amazing. And like, in this day and age of everybody trying to be a singer on YouTube, I don't think that she, like, if she were a young woman today, I don't know if she would make it to where she made it in her time.
And here's it's so arbitrary who makes it and who doesn't make it. And I feel like, especially people, there's this stereotype about Barbara that she's pushy and she's bossy and people hate working with her. But you have to be that kind of aggressive and obnoxious to get your way to the top and to stand out against people.
I mean, now, I feel like now still, but especially back then when, you know, the entertainment industry is being run by men and you're this woman trying to make a name for yourself. And if you don't push back, you're just going to get pushed around.
I think it's hard, and I admire them so much. And I feel like they probably would do. I mean, they're still icons today, but I think I'm still going to buy a ticket. And I still like Renee. I like Renee Zellweger. She was great in Chicago. But it's just, like, with such an icon, I'm surprised they picked her and not, like, a big Broadway starlet.
She looked good in the photo. Alice Ripley. She looked good in the photo that they released. She was very Judy.
And I'm sure it's not like she's waiting for my approval or anything, but
well, it sounds like she doesn't have it.
I'm still gonna go see it. Yeah, I'll go see it. I mean, she does look great as her. She really does.
So I think it'll be good. I hope it shows like how tragic
it is. Is it going to be a musical? I mean,
is it what?
Is it going to be a musical?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it will recount her performances with some of her best known numbers, including Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't think.
Oh, because that's.
I mean,
what
it's probably gonna yeah. it's probably gonna show a lot of her singing, but.
I wonder. Well, it's probably gonna toward the end. I wonder who is gonna capture her and Liza together. And I just looked it up, by the way, and it looks like Michael Gambon is playing Bernard Delfont, who is a leading Russian-born British theatrical impersonator. I don't know what that word. I'm gonna click on that word. A person who organizes and often finances concerts, plays, or so kind of a producer,
like a manager.
I gotta get off these. Yeah. So. Michael Gambon, amazing. I'm excited.
It'll be good. I'm excited.
It'll be good. Yeah. When do we have the 15,000? Is it coming out this year?
I don't know.
We did a lot of research.
Well, I was trying to find information about it online, and there's really not much. They released that photo just to get everybody excited, and that's basically what all the articles were about. Was this photo has been released of showing Renee Zellweger as Judy, and so it'll be good. I'm excited. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I was looking up when I was doing research, not research, when I was looking up an article for this, I had to look up a bunch of other Broadway divas to compare to each other. Well, I just wanted to run down the list and get your opinion on everybody.
Odd, like, what about this?
Yeah, so how do you feel about Carol Burnett?
Oh, God. I mean, amazing. And
anything less, if you say anything less than amazing, I might have to hang up on this call.
No, that's totally fine. Talk about breaking through as a woman in the industry in comedy, which is still a boys' club.
I saw, I was watching a video clip of when Carol was being honored at, I forget what it was.
Kennedy
Center? Yes, I think it was something like that. And Julie Andrews came out and to do a speech about her friend Carol Burnett, and it was really good. It was really moving.
I don't know what I would do if I was in a, like, to be friends with them. That's crazy.
All those people are like friends with each other because they've, you know, run in the same circles for decades, and
that's just so weird that someone's normal.
It's crazy.
Like, oh yeah, my friend Carol Burnett. Oh, my friend Julie. Like, do they call themselves Julie Carol, or like,
yeah,
they have
of course
the
they're on
name?
Of course they're on first name basis with each other.
No, like, hello, like, even if I became like best friends of Julie Andrews, like, hey Julie Andrews, what's
you're
up?
You're gonna call her up and say, hello Julie Andrews. Let me.
Yeah, I mean, I have also so people can hear. Yeah, Julie Andrews.
Hang on, I just got a text from my BFF Julie Andrews.
Like, I know who it is. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I still want you to know who it is. We're gonna say it again. Julie Andrews. Is she on the list? Because, like, I'm going to go ahead and say right now, like, she's perfect.
Yeah, Julie Andrews. I also had Bernadette Peters.
Oh, Bernadette Peters, I fell in love with when I was, I think that's why I, like, wanted to become a redhead. My mom bought me the Broadway recording of Into the Woods with her on VHS, and she bought it for me because, I wanted it. And she's a nice mother, but she bought it for me because at her work they were doing literally an all night like paperwork session. So we were there till from like six o'clock at night till 6 a.m. And she had me collate stuff, and she was like, "Okay, if you help me, you can watch it." And like, she brought me on the TV, and I just watched it over and over again. She's like, "Do you want another movie?" I was like, "No, thank you."
No, I'm good.
Start all over again. I'm very happy right now. have you seen that version of Into the Woods? It's so good.
I have not. My first exposure to Into the Woods was the Meryl Streep movie that came out, last year, two years ago?
I mean,
4 years ago. I don't know how long ago that was.
You should watch it. It's on, I think you can get it on Amazon Prime, but it's for rent online, and it is the, I think, 1989 stage version. Bernadette Peters, Joanna Gleason, big names. Highly recommend it. Let me see how much it is to rent. Broadway. It's totally worth your time. I actually am thinking of seeing it on stage. Have you ever seen it on stage before? Or have you only seen it?
No, I've only seen the movie. I had no idea what it was before the movie came out. It was one that apparently had just like slipped through my exposure.
It's so good. But I saw it with Vanessa Williams. Can I not find it on Amazon? That makes me really sad. I'll just send it to you. That's how good it is.
I'll do some searching around.
But do you know who Vanessa Williams is? Is she on your list?
She was not on my list that I put together, but I know she is.
I saw her as a witch, and she's phenomenal. Speaking of which, side note with her. Have you ever seen Ugly Betty?
No.
You should watch it. I got into it one day, and I finished it in like 3 days. And she's amazing at it. I think I told you about it when I was watching it.
Probably.
And you're like, I'll get around to it, and then you never did.
I'm still getting around to it.
All right, who's next on your list? I'm excited.
Oh, a lot of people. We can move on from this, though. I had Patti LuPone.
No!
Well, I had Patti LuPone, which, very controversial. I actually don't like her. So I hope you didn't book her as another guest on our show.
What? How do you not like Patti LuPone?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. There's something about her. I just don't. I think she's like too much of a diva, and it just kind of. And I know that. I know that sounds like something I shouldn't be able to say, but I don't know. In comparison to some of these other people, she's at the bottom of my list. I also had
she has to back it up.
Angela Lansbury.
I saw her in.
I'll take Angela Lansbury over Patti LuPone. This is a very anti-Patti LuPone podcast. All right. What?
She was amazing. I saw her in Sweet.
What pro Patti LuPone propaganda do you have for me today?
I saw her live in Sweeney Todd, and she was everything that she says she is.
Do you know who else was in Sweeney Todd?
Yes, she was. A lot of people.
Angela Lansbury.
Who are you talking about? Oh, fine. Yes, Angela Lansbury. That was very. I was gonna say Murder She Wrote of you because you're like detective, like sneaking it in, and I'm trying to make a. Yeah. She's great. Oh, I have a story about her, Angela Lansbury. I don't know her. That would be a great story.
Who?
Angela Lansbury. I don't know her, but I have a story about her.
Just disclaimer: Joanna doesn't know her personally.
I've stalked her. I mean, who hasn't? That's a kidding, by the way. Just a heads up. I know I'm a very good actress. No, the writers of Beauty and Alan Menken, the people who did the music for Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, that's Alan.
They wrote Tale as Old as Time for her, and they sent it to her, and they said, we'd love for you to sing it. We wrote it specifically for your voice. You're perfect for it. Will you do it? Mm-hmm. And she listened to it, and she said, it's not really right for me. And they're like, what do you mean it's not right for you? We wrote it for you. And apparently they had sent her the Celine Dion version, which they wrote for the end credits where she sings it. And Celine Dion's voice and her voice are a little different.
Yeah.
So it always makes me laugh.
Angela Lansbury, Celine Dion. It's a common mistake.
I mean, all the time. They were really, really embarrassed.
Can you imagine if she had passed up the part of Mrs. Potts?
I feel like Julianne just could have done it just fine. Like, I would have been fine.
Speaking of Disney stuff, have you seen the trailer for for the new Mary Poppins movie that's coming out?
I have.
Real quick, thoughts.
I still don't want Mary Poppins, but I'm very excited for this for obvious reasons.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
But Lin-Manuel Miranda, I love him.
But it just... I don't know. I just feel like we shouldn't be touching it. It's a classic. It's good. We don't need to be remaking it.
Well, we're already remaking everything else. I mean,
I guess that's my point. Do we need to?
Well, I mean, yeah, we have everything. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's getting ridiculous. Like they're doing a remake. Do you remember the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No. I haven't seen anything that you've seen.
I don't know how we're friends. Keep shooting me down. I've seen everything you've seen, but you haven't seen everything I've seen.
I don't get out much.
I'm okay with it. I think the only thing I haven't liked that was remade by Disney was Cinderella and Alice in Wonderland. I thought those were really bad.
Yeah, I didn't like Alice in Wonderland.
I love I loved the Jungle Book. I liked the Beauty and the Beast. I feel like Emma Watson was a great visual, like an actress, but she could not sing that part for anything.
I liked it. I thought she was
and
fine.
I didn't like the random plot about like Belle's mom having the oh god, what's happening? Oh no, sorry. I clicked on an ad apparently. Sorry, I don't know if you heard that. I didn't like that Belle's mom had the plague. Like, that was weird. I didn't think it needed to be there. And then she went back and she touched the rattle, which drove me crazy because it was probably had plague germs on it. And she probably bought the plague back. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any opinion about it.
Plague involved in it.
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. I think it'll be good. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda would not do anything where he was going to be bad. Honestly, like he's very smart.
I don't know. That's your opinion. I have a different opinion.
Oh, we about to throw down.
Well, I mean, we've already talked.
You have not given Hamilton a chance.
We've already discussed Hamilton amongst ourselves.
That is amazing, and you're wrong.
And that I can't get into it. I don't know.
So, okay, because you're white.
Okay.
You gotta listen to your country music. You can't understand that rap music. Who's from South Carolina here? Who's in South Carolina here?
Yeah.
Listen to your country music. I'm listening to rap over here.
You're listening to 17th century rap music.
Yeah, but I'm learning. Did I tell you, I was playing the Cat in the Hat at work, because naturally, and I was really feeling my Hamilton life at the time, and I was like, I said to my boss, I was like, I kind of want to rap. Cat in the Hat. And what I love is people did not like go, that's weird. Like, oh, that sounds about what you would want to do. And I thought of it the day before. So believe it or not, you can't just come up and memorize the rap the day before if you have no experience with it. So I cut that very quickly, but I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to try it next year.
You cut yourself from that production. Like,
I sent myself an email.
We really appreciate the effort.
Really cute. Good
better
try.
Luck next time.
Yeah. Instead, I had I pimped the part out to the two teachers in my classroom. I was like, I'm gonna be the Cat in the Hat, and you guys be everybody else. So like, I told them this 5 minutes before we started, and they're like, oh, okay.
Of course, you cast yourself as the lead.
Well, I mean, I was already dressed as it, so that wasn't hard. I already had the makeup ready. I mean. Anyway, so is there any more divas, or are you seem done with this? I'm very excited about. I could talk about divas all day.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Okay, I feel like we need to take your gay card away if you're done with talking about divas after like 5 minutes.
Well,
and you don't like Idol Pop.
Well, I feel like
you don't like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I feel like you've got very different opinions about some of these people than I do.
Well, I am a little gay with you, if that's possible. I mean, well, okay, you like Cher though, right?
Of course, I like Cher.
Okay, thank God. All right.
It's really Patti LuPone was the only one on the list that I was just having trouble with.
And in agreement with you a little bit, her audiobook was a little hard to read because it was like, and I guess an audiobook, she's going to talk about herself. And I'm like, really, Patti, again?
Oh, really?
Talk about somebody else. That book made me really sad, though, because she dated Kevin Kline. Do you know who that is? Kevin Kline?
Yes.
Okay. So they dated for a while. I like, and I've always had a big crush on him.
I like that you have to ask now before you just start going into the story.
I'm just checking.
You know who this person is, right?
Well, like, I always had a big crush on him, and apparently he was kind of a scoundrel when they dated. Like, he cheated on her left, right, and sideways. And I was like, Patty, stop tearing my dreams down. He's perfect. I don't want to hear about people being not perfect. You know, kind of bums me out.
All right, so I think that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the show. We're gonna end on that very controversial note.
What, Kevin Kline is a scoundrel?
I hope everybody enjoyed this week's episode. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play and leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you would like to get in contact with either of us, I am on Twitter at Matthew Dickens. Joanna, do you want people to talk to you?
I mean, if they must. I'm not really into Twitter, but I'm on Instagram. Is that lame? I'm on Instagram. Joanna, JOANNA .monsoon. Because yeah.
Also, make sure you check out Joanna's other podcast that she does with her husband and another couple called Hear Me Out.
which Matthew was our most recent judge on, which was very funny. I've been getting a lot of response for that.
Yes, which I was gonna say the judge you had on last week, he was really good. You should have him back.
Yeah, it was really good. He's so good. Oh, I have to make a shout out to one specific person.
Go ahead. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it. Good. There is a girl I work with named Brittany. And every time I talked to her, she was like, oh, I haven't checked out your podcast yet, but I totally will. And I was like, well, now I'm on two, so you have to. And I feel like every time I bring up my podcast, I'm like, yeah, you haven't listened to it. I get it, Brittany. Well, and I said that I was going to give her a shout out, like, to see if she heard it. And I mean, it's at the end now. If she's made it this
far. Are you going to test her?
Well,
Brittany.
I mean, I told her I was going to call her out.
Brittany, if you're listening to this, make sure you check out Joanna's other podcast. It's called Hear Me Out. It's on iTunes.
She knows about both of them.
It's very good.
I talk about myself a lot.
I talk about myself a lot. You and Patty LaPone.
A lot. Oh! She got fired. So, that was rough.
So I think...
Have you seen the... go ahead. I was about to ask about Patty LaPone again.
Go ahead.
Patty LaPone, did you see the thing that happened to her like 2009? Someone was recording her in Gypsy, and she stopped the performance until that person was removed.
Yes, there is actually a remix of that.
That's not about the reference. You just got Patty. I think you sent that to me.
We've talked about this maybe 10 years ago.
Well, I'm bringing it up again.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm, I like to keep my references current. You know.
2009.
Yeah.
So, we will be back again next week, roughly around the same time, the same place.
Yeah.
I guess until then, bye, everybody.
Bye.